Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. This week, for the first time in more than 50 years, the United States has an embassy in Cuba, and Cuba is flying its flag outside its embassy in Washington, D.C. We have been hearing since last December that relationships between the United States and Cuba are on the path to normalization. But what does that really mean? We have official diplomatic relations, but the embargo still stands and travel restrictions are still in place. Well, with me to discuss this are two reporters who have just been to Cuba, Cardiff Garcia with the Financial Times and Tim Fernolds with Quartz. So we have these relations, we have embassies, but does it mean anything? Is it just symbolic, Cardiff?
No, it does mean something. And I think it's clear that progress in terms of normalizing relations has moved a lot faster than most people anticipated. And so has public opinion. I think this is very important because also this week we saw a new Pew survey showing that Republican support, okay, the Republicans traditionally have been opposed to normalizing relations with Cuba. Republican support has increased quite a lot just in the last 6 months since the initial announcements on December 17th. I think that's crucial, and I think it's a sign that we can expect more to happen in the coming years.
Is this a little bit of a generational change? I mean, you can look at things like gay marriage over time. A younger generation isn't as, you know, upset or care that much about the issue. Is this something similar with Cuba, where you've got younger Cuban Americans figuring, look, this is not, we don't believe in the embargo. We want to have more relations.
Yeah, I think it's clear. And by the way, I should add that I am part of that next generation. I am myself Cuban American. My family has long been split on this. But I think my generation realizes that that was the last generation's fight. And that at this point, we've had the same policy in place for so long with sort of limited results. And that at this point, yeah, it's time to look ahead.
Tim, you were just there in Cuba. What was the mood and the sentiment like? Is there a sense that the obstacles are coming down and the economy is starting to respond to these changes?
The mood is very upbeat. It's pretty buoyant. I think Cuban people are excited about this opening just on a basic consumer material level. There are things that they want they can't get, and the possibility of more investment coming into Cuba is a big deal. There's still not a lot that U.S. businesses or even U.S. people can do if they go to Cuba right now, but you can already see the change because Cuban Americans can bring down a lot more money and invest a lot more freely than they used to. So Cuba has this like nascent growing private sector right now, and there's already a lot of money flowing into that, rebuilding houses, setting up restaurants, setting up bed and breakfasts, because people anticipate a further opening down the line from the U.S.
What are the obstacles, though, that remain?
Well, there's still a trade embargo for almost everything. There's exemptions now for telecommunications firms. If you want to sell the Cubans internet, you can. But almost anything else, the U.S. can't buy anything there. They can't invest in anything there. U.S. tourists cannot go down.
There isn't really a banking system that exists to transfer money.
Just on Wednesday, the first U.S. bank set up a correspondent account with the Cuban bank that does foreign transactions. So the financial systems are just barely starting to get integrated.
So I want to add something to what Tim just said, though, because I agree that everybody I talked to in Cuba did want more American investment, obviously. But they also added that there was a lot of reason to be cautious about what kinds of changes would be offered by the Cuban government in response. In other words, remember that Cuba itself still has very stringent restrictions on foreign direct investment in the country, okay? If a foreign company wants to invest in Cuba, it has to do so as part of a joint venture with the Cuban government, and the Cuban government is going to retain the minority stake. Not only that, there are restrictions on how foreign companies can interact with their Cuban employees. And so, for instance, if they want to pay their Cuban employees, they actually have to give the money first to the Cuban ministry that's in charge of that particular area of business. And then the Cuban ministry pays their Cuban employees not in the stronger foreign currency or in the currency in Cuba that's convertible to a foreign currency, but in the weaker national peso. I think a lot of companies are going to struggle with this. It could create a big PR problem unless the Cuban government itself starts to change. And so a lot of the Cubans that I talked to said, look, we want this. We welcome this opening. We want more American investment. But at the same time, we're not sure whether the Cuban government itself is going to open up a lot more quickly.
It sounds like what you're outlining is countries like China, which opened up to greater economic development, but the government still retains a lot of control, that American businesses might be a little bit surprised at the idea of going in and doing business in Cuba, that it's not going to be a purely capitalistic society. It's still going to have a lot of controls in how they operate.
Yeah, and that's clearly a goal. And by the way, I don't want to be too pessimistic. We are seeing progress. I think we will continue to see progress. I just think it might happen more slowly than everybody thinks, even if the trade embargo was overturned tomorrow.
I think that's absolutely true. And, you know, I talked to this Caterpillar executive, Bill Lane. Caterpillar wants to go down there and sell construction equipment and generators and all this stuff. And he's been trying to do on the U.S. side to lift the embargo since 1998. But he will say exactly what Cardiff says, which it really depends on how receptive the Cuban government is going to be to U.S. companies.
So for people who are listening who think this is all great, but when can I go? When can people go more easily to the country?
Well, right now is a good answer. Basically, the change that the U.S. government did is there are like 12 official reasons you can go to Cuba. A religious trip, people-to-people exchange as a journalist, as a student. And it used to be you had to apply for that in advance, and 12 months later, the U.S. government would say, okay, you can go. And now what they're doing is you just say to yourself, I'm going to do a people-to-people exchange, and you can go. And the U.S. government will maybe check up on you later and say, did you really do that? So if you go now on a cultural exchange, and I'm doing some air quotes, technically you have to meet, I believe, 4 times a day with regular Cuban people in some setting. And you can find tour guides, people who will bring you down there, who take that seriously on varying levels. And the other thing that has been true for Americans is that it's been possible, though illegal, to fly to Cuba and be a tourist there through third countries. Since the change in January, the illegal tourism has gone up a lot. People have said, okay, well, they're not really going to prosecute us. So while that existed before, now there's a lot more of it going on.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you what my experience was, and I don't want anybody to misconstrue this as travel advice, okay? I qualify under one of those exemptions because I have family in Cuba, all right? So legitimately, I can go to the island without a problem. But nobody ever asked either on the Cuban side or the American side who my family members actually were, what their addresses are, how to reach them, anything like that, either on the Cuban side or the American side. So make of that what you will. It seems like right now the American government is perfectly fine with people visiting Cuba and coming back, but you should take all your precautions.
Well, Cardiff Garcia with the Financial Times and Tim Fernolds with Quartz, thank you so much for joining.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Charlie.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.